This is one of the first places Paul went on the first missionary journey, as he was sent out by the church in Antioch. And he kind of went through the Galatian region, and he kind of stopped at a few of the places, Iconium, Lystra, Derbe, Pisidian at Antioch, and he began to share the gospel with them there. And then as he went back home, they say probably sometime, they think maybe around the end of the third missionary journey, he wrote back to them and wrote this book. And this book's written to Galatia. It was a province of Rome. And it was kind of all of them. And some things started to infiltrate the church. And one of the things he was worried about is how man had started coming in and started trying to take away and to distort and pervert the gospel of Jesus Christ. And started trying to place other things on them. It almost reminds you of it's got to be Jesus Christ plus something. And so they were trying to really say that it was going to be through the Mosaic Law and through Judaism that they were going to be made Christians. And it was very opposite of what Paul had preached. And so we're going to open up in the book of Galatians. Paul, an apostle, not sent from men, nor through the agency of man. That he wasn't sent by man, but that he was sent by Jesus Christ himself. And God the Father, the divine creator and the caregiver, who raised him from the dead. And all the brethren who are with me, to the churches of Galatia, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins so that he might rescue us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever. More. Amen. One of the things we see in verse 4 is that he really makes a pretty strong point there, is that he gave himself for our sins so that he might rescue us from this present evil age. And we ask ourselves, what's part of this present evil age? We know it's a time of darkness. We know sin is coming to the world, has corrupted the world. It's a time where darkness is set in. You think of the way man's heart is today, it's who needs God? Don't need him. Why do I need him? You know, I go to work, make my own ends meet. I don't really need God. Who needs God? Right? Make things happen on my own. Don't really need him. There's an evil age where man's heart just begins to turn away from God. They begin to be led by their lust, their flesh. In Ephesians chapter 2, in verse 1, it says that you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, the way they did things, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. This dark age and how it's really set in. And you can begin to see it. You begin to see man's heart and the hardness of man's heart. It's almost like everywhere you turn. Anytime you turn on the television, it's there. You can't get away. I mean, I've come to the point now where you just don't even really want to watch the news too much anymore. And you really, even with, you know, you got to be careful about how much you even let yourself listen. You know, don't get me wrong, I love Fox News. But you got to be careful how much you even let yourself listen to this. Because it's not long before you find yourself getting into a little bit of a tizzy. And you find yourself starting to get a little anxious. You know, what if this guy stays the course, we're all going to be ruined. We're all going to be ruined. What are we going to do? He's going to tax us to death. He's going to raise things so high. And it's not long before we start listening to them and we stop listening to the Word of God. It's not long. It's this present evil age we live in. They're constantly trying to take God out of everything. They're trying to take God out of the schools. They're trying to take God out of the Pledge of Allegiance. They're trying to take God out of everything. You're not allowed to pray with the name of Jesus Christ at the end anymore if you're in a public function somewhere. Everywhere you turn, they're constantly trying to take Jesus Christ out. everywhere we turn. And it's the present evil age that we live in. And Paul tells us it's going to proceed from bad to worse. So we start listening to all the voices. We start listening to what everybody else has got to say. The agency of man. We start listening. It's not long before we start getting anxious. We start getting concerned. And we go, well, I can't do this or I can't do that. Do we trust in the Lord or not? Are we not believing in the one that, well, what did he say in verse 1? Who raised him from the dead. Well, if he can raise Jesus Christ from a tomb that was closed up, can he not take care of us? So these Galatians were beginning to be shook by all these rumors, by men trying to come in and trying to infiltrate the gospel of Jesus Christ, by them trying to come in and say, well, it can't just be that. You know, I understand, I hear the gospel, and I know all that, you know, but really it just can't be that simple. But isn't that just like man, to make things more complicated? We do that all the time, don't we? We make things more complicated than they really are. We add everything in our lives, and then we start complaining when everything just ain't working out just right, but we've added in so much. And we wonder why our schedules are so packed. And if it's not easy, we overbook ourselves day after day after day. We run ourselves ragged, and then we get angry. It says, he gave himself for our sins. Our sins, our shortcomings, our faults are, as Mr. Don says, the archery term, missing the mark. We missed the mark. He came and he gave himself for those so that he might actually be able to come in. That word rescue is save. Saved us from this present evil age. You know what he's saying? He says, I'm pulling you out of that. I'm going to pull you out of this evil age. I'm rescuing you from that. You don't have to listen to them. You don't have to hear them. You don't have to walk according to what you're hearing and allowing what you're hearing to dictate your walk with Jesus Christ. Because if you're not careful, you're going to hear it. The lie's been there from the beginning. God's holding something back from you. He doesn't want what's best for you. From the very beginning, the lie's been there. And we're hearing all the voices. He's holding something back from you. It says that he desires to rescue us from this present evil age according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever. Amen. And that when God wills to do something, he's going to do it. It says that he works with the strength of his might according to his will in Ephesians chapter 1. That he's going to work all things, everything in this world, the sovereignty of God is going to turn, and he's going to work all things according to the counsel of his will, Ephesians chapter 1. Having been predestined according to his purpose, Ephesians chapter 1 verse 11, who works all things after the counsel of his will. God's going to do good. Romans 8:28 tells us that he's going to do good for all those who love him and walk according to his purpose. He's going to do good. And that he showed us that when Jesus Christ died upon that cross. He says, this is what you got to see. In verse 6, he comes in. He says, I am amazed. He went in, he shared the gospel with them. They received it. These men received the gospel. They received the good news of Jesus Christ, that he came. He grew up, he was a perfect man, he was God in the flesh. He died upon that cross. He took our sins on himself so that we could have everlasting life and be with the Father eternally and dwell in heaven with him forever, ever. And how that story just seems so simple to man. It can't be that simple, right? It really can't. But when it really starts to hit you is when you get on that deathbed. The lot of men are going to run. It's the present evil age, right? I got time. I'm going to do what I want to do. Before time runs out, I'll accept the Lord. But you never know when that time's up. So he shared the gospel with them. They accepted it. The churches in Galatia on the first missionary journey. And he writes them now and he says, I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him. Because we realize in the book of Acts when he called Paul and Paul was persecuting the church, I believe it's in chapter 9, he goes, Paul, or Saul, why are you persecuting me? That body of Christ, that church that Paul is persecuting, Jesus Christ said, you're persecuting me. He said, so when you begin to turn from that gospel, make no mistakes about this, you're turning from Jesus Christ himself. And a lot of times, we want to try to come in and we want to humanize and rationalize everything in human wisdom. And we want to try to say, well, you know, I really got to do this or I got to do that. I got to pay my bills, you know, God will understand. He goes, you're deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel. They were coming in with circumcision. They were coming in with the Mosaic law. They were adding things. Yeah, the yoke, I can just imagine the yoke just kept getting heavier and heavier. And it just wasn't about grace anymore. It wasn't about this freedom in the Spirit that the book of Galatians talks about. Man, there's freedom in Jesus Christ. There's freedom in that Spirit that He gives you. When you walk in that Spirit and you desire to be just like Him, there's freedom in that. You're not bound by these laws. You're not bound by this having to perform an act of human hands so that my salvation will be intact. No, no, no. It says that whosoever should believe in Him would have everlasting life. Believe in Him. For those who love Him, walk according to His purpose. That's my He's my salvation. Not nothing that I perform with my hands. I can't keep it. I can't lose it. I can't somehow earn it. It was all Him. He gave it to me. It was a gift from Him because of His kindness, His love, His mercy, His grace. He says, I'm amazed that you are so quickly deserting. In a rapid manner, you're running from Him who called you by the grace of Christ. That He called them by this unmerited favor, this favor of Christ. He goes, but you're leaving that kindness and that love and the sacrifice that He gave, and you're leaving it and you're turning away to a different gospel. You're turning away and you're beginning to leave this gospel behind, and you're being drawn away by something else. You're being drawn away. He says, which is really not another gospel in verse 7. It's really not. You know, I laugh, but you think, you know, you tell somebody, well, give me a Coke. You got Diet Coke. You got Coke Zero. You got Vanilla Coke. You got Cherry Coke. You got, just Diet Coke, caffeine-free. Go down the list. But he's saying there's only one gospel. There's only one good news of Jesus Christ. And how that is such an anchor. He goes, but you're turning away from it. That gospel's been shared with you. And he's concerned. He's going, whoa, I'm amazed. Whoa, what happened? What's going on? Why? Why have you turned? Why are you? And you're not just, it's not just a little bit. You're quickly deserting him. You're deserting him. It was by grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another. Only there are some who are disturbing. It's not another. But I'm going to tell you what it is. You're hearing the voices. You're listening to these people. Why are you listening to them? Why are you listening to them? Christ came. Did Christ not prove himself for you? He laid down his life for you. You tell me which one of these guys did that. You tell me which one of these things that men is proclaiming did that. You tell me. Which one? Security? Did security do that? Fitting in with the in crowd? Did they do that? They're the ones that abuse us. They don't care. He said that they're disturbing you. It's coming in, it's disrupting you, it's bothering you, it's agitating, it's throwing you off course. They're disturbing you and they want to distort the gospel of Christ. Distort the gospel of Christ. In Ephesians 4, actually, Ephesians 6, verse 12. And this is going to really nail it down for us. It's going to nail it down right here to the T. Ephesians 6, verse 12. For our struggle, there's a struggle. We are in a battle. It's not against flesh and blood, but it's actually against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. He goes on to say, therefore take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day and having done everything to stand firm. Having girding your loins with truth, you've wrapped that truth around you tight. You've having put on that breastplate of righteousness that you're walking in righteousness so your heart is protected. You're blameless. You're walking desiring to please Christ. You having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel. You know, I think of Paul, I think of Christ. And almost everywhere they went, there was no doubt. Peter, everywhere they went, there was no doubt. In some way, somehow, they wanted to bring that gospel into that situation. Their feet were shod with that. That's what was on their feet. That was it. That was it. That was a mindset. That was there. We know exactly why we're here. We know exactly why we're here. People need to know about Christ. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith. That faith is going to begin, which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Man, I believe God's good. I know things may look rough right now. I know He's doing a work in my life. But that shield, that faith is going to be a shield to you. Because them arrows are coming, and they're not going to stop. Our adversary does not stop. And that faith you hold up, that shield, He says, stand firm, young brothers, sisters, stand firm. Because we know what's going on. We know there's a struggle against forces of darkness. We're not naive to these things. We're not naive to the schemes of the devil, Ephesians says too. He says, but take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The helmet of salvation, it's here. It's protecting that mind. You got to know it. Jesus Christ was the only way that I received salvation. It's that helmet of salvation. Protect the mind. He says, but you've, back in Galatians, he said, which is really not another gospel, but who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. So what we realize now, that these people are coming in, but these aren't, look, they're being led. We're not naive to these things. They're walking according to the course of this world, which is the influence of the evil one. 1 John tells us that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. The whole world lies in the power of the evil one. He's doing a work. And His goal is to begin, if He could turn the hearts of men away from God, He's going to win. He's won that. He won't win in the end. And so, where we begin to see is that these men desire to come in, and they desire to knock you off course. They desire to put doubt in your heads. They desire to make you doubt that God's in control. We know He's doing a work. I was talking to my neighbor the other day, and she, you know, it's funny because I went through a spell there. I love talk politics with anybody as far as what was going on. But I had to really pull myself out of that whole arena, because it wasn't long before you find yourself thinking to talk about those things instead of talking about the gospel. So I realized that there was an issue in my life that needed to change. So at this point in time, she starts talking to me, and I tell you, I started trying to use every opportunity just to practice, just to, you know. And she starts talking to me, and she's talking to me, and she's telling me, oh my goodness, what about this, and the borders, and all this stuff. Oh my God, what are we going to do? And I said, Miss Aggie, I said, you know the great thing about that is, I said, the Lord's just given us plenty of field to go toil. I said, He's just giving us more people to share that gospel with. That's all He's doing. Well, what about this over here? I said, the great thing about that is, I said, if they tax us so much and all of us don't have no work, then we just get to walk around and share the gospel all day long. We don't got to worry about it anymore. I don't see it getting any better than that. You got to stand in line to get bread. That's cool with me. I got to stand in line with 100 people for 3 hours to get bread. We're going to have a revival. He's giving us the work. But we're so fixated on that physical. We're hearing the voices. And we're not realizing we've been called for a specific work. And that is to proclaim that gospel of Christ wherever we are. That is to be that light in the dark world. So let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. They're going to see, why'd you do that? Brother, as Paul says, you know, I once was in Judaism and all these different things. In verse 13 and 14, he goes, but when the grace of God called, that's it. Man, I knew I had to. There was nothing that I wouldn't give up for my Savior. When He called, that's when I knew. It had to go. Nothing could be put in front of Him. So he goes on, he says, they're disturbing you in verse 7. They want to distort the gospel of Christ. That's their goal. It's the forces of darkness. That's their goal. They want to throw us off kilter. And they're going to come in many different ways. You're going to be attacked in many different ways. But if you take your eyes off of Christ for one hot minute, you're going to start to sink. You're going to sink. He says, but you just got to reach back out and grab Me. He ain't going to leave you or forsake you. So they're coming in. They're trying to distort the gospel. They're trying to say, it can't be that simple, can it? Just believe? Really? That's all I got to do? I got to believe that is the truth? And that He's going to be the one that provides for me when I follow Him. It says, drop your nets. Follow Me. But even if we, verse 8, but even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. We or an angel, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. If they preach to you a gospel opposite to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. It's not even a gospel. As Paul calls it, it's the doctrine of demons. It's the evil spirits. It's the doctrine of demons that come in. He says, we have said before, he said it before, so I say again now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary, opposite to what you received, he is to be accursed. There is no other way to the Father except through the Son. Our salvation rests in Jesus Christ alone. Jesus Christ alone. I've watched Jesus Christ in my own life take me from the gutter and provide for me all the way through. All the way through. Times where I didn't know where meals were going to come from, He provided them. Times where I didn't know how all my bills were going to get paid, He provided them. There's times where you just got to let go. Family members, you just don't know what's going to happen. You just got to keep following Christ. He'll take care of them. They come in and they try to add all these different things to us. They try to make program after program. We don't see people getting saved. We don't see them getting saved. They're trying to figure out ways to bring more people in and fill the seats. But how many of them really have a relationship with Jesus Christ? The master's plan of evangelism, he spent his time with 12 men. And those 12 men went and taught other men. And from there, it spread like wildfire. He says, teach these things to faithful men. Faithful men. He says, for am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Or am I striving to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. Seeking the favor of men or of God. It brings you into that point. Why do we let the other things come in? Why did they let the other things come in? You know, it almost seems like it's just Christ tells us, take my yoke. It's light. I'll give you rest. I mean, you guys ever feel like we just ain't doing enough? I mean, you ever feel like that? Maybe we're just not doing enough. Maybe we're just not doing enough. Maybe we got to do more. But he didn't call us to do that. He says, I'm not seeking the favor of men or of God. I'm not striving to please men. If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a bondservant. I would not be a slave of Christ. Because being a slave of Christ does not please men. It's the very opposite. You're going to have those times where you're going to be looked at. Let's just turn to 1 Corinthians 2. Actually, chapter 1, verse 18. For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. The word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. You know, those are the very ones that laugh at us. Those old stupid Christians. Those are the ones that make fun of us. You share the gospel, you walk according to the gospel, you follow Christ. And there's going to be those. It's just going to be plain foolishness to them. That's that present evil age. It's foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. How many times do we just think the cross just isn't enough? How many times do we try to talk to people, or we try to talk to someone, and we share with them the cross, and we see them kind of, so then we go, oh, I got to think of something else to say. Oh, well, what about this? Or I can tell you about this part in the Bible, or I can tell you about that part in the Bible. And then by the time we do that, we done scared them way off. I mean, they're just, they're like, yeah, I will see you later. That's a whole lot to swallow. He says, for the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the cleverness of the clever I will set aside. Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? You know, the book of Romans is pretty neat. He says they just denied God, and they started professing to be experts in all these things, and they've really just become foolish. You know, they sit here and they say they found this particle, and this is going to explain how this theory came about and all this, and we sit back. And what's really neat, and one thing I start to realize, the book of Colossians in chapter 4, where he says make most of every opportunity with the outsiders. You know what I realize? No, we're the insiders. We're not the outsiders. But the world wants to make you feel like you're the outsider. But Christ is trying to let you know you're actually the one on the inside and you're looking out. Don't let them fool you. Why are you letting them fool you? They don't have no clue what they're looking at, but they're going to think they are, and they're going to try to tell you what they know to be true. He goes, but you know exactly what's true because you know who I am, and I explain all things to you. Don't let them fool you. Don't let them throw you off course when they try to bring up all these different things. He says, I'll destroy the wisdom of the wise and the cleverness of the clever. I will set aside. For since in the wisdom of God, verse 21, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. Isn't that the truth? A lot of times we just don't think the gospel's strong enough. Isn't that true? We don't. A lot of times we just don't think that gospel is strong enough. But that's actually the power of God, that gospel. We always want to try to add everything else into it. We want to try to tell them a little more about Scripture, and we want to try to win them over by how much verses we can quote. But really, it ain't got nothing to do with it. He's going, you got to come back to the gospel right here. You got to maintain that. For indeed, Jews ask for a sign and Greeks search for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. That's it. To Jews, it's a stumbling block, and to Gentiles, it's just foolishness. But to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your calling, brethren, that there were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble. God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong. And the base things of the world and the despised God has chosen, the things that are not, so that he may nullify the things that are, so that no man may boast before God. But by his doing you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Behavior is pleasing to God, sanctification of cleansing and redemption is redeemed, forgiven. So that just as it is written, let him who boasts boast in the Lord. Isn't it like the world to make us feel like we're the fools? But what I want to tell you tonight is that we are. And we're fools for Christ. In chapter 4 of 1 Corinthians, he says, I am a fool for his sake. And what we got to stop trying to do is fit into their mold. We are Christians. We are followers of Christ, resolved to follow Jesus. It is the gospel that we carry. It is nothing else. It is his cross that where his power lies, the gospel and the word of God. The cross is foolishness to them. Okay? Go ahead and make up your mind now. I will be a fool for Christ. Make it up. Stop being embarrassed. We go pass out a flyer to put up, and there's a family with three children in front of me and the guy behind the counter, and you can just feel the push. And so a party's going, well, I'll just wait till that family walks off. I just gave in. You know what Paul says? That's a wide door of effective service when you start to feel that way. When them adversaries start pushing in on you, that's when you stand up bolder and stronger. And you say, Christ Jesus. Excuse me, sir. Hey, I see you got three kids right here. We got VBS coming up. But you can feel it. You feel the forces of wickedness. You feel the darkness, man. You feel the push. The adversaries are there. And Paul says, and when you feel them, and when there's a lot of them, that's a wide door for effective service. 1 Corinthians 16. I believe it's verse 9. It may be up a little higher. Or 16. 16. It's one of those. You'll look it up. But I know it's in 1 Corinthians 16. It is. 1 Corinthians 16. There's a wide door for effectual service. I think it quotes it twice. Maybe in Acts 2. But what I'm saying is this. Go ahead now and make up your mind. I'm going to be a fool. I'm okay with that. I don't got to be cool no more. I'm done trying to be cool. Because God already told me He's going to take the cool things of the world and He's going to make them look real stupid. That's what He's going to do. He promised us that. We know these things. Why don't we hold on to them? We know them. He goes, I've given you this insight. I've given you my Word of God. You can look at these men and you can go, you're way out left field. And they're going, excuse me, let me show you my A plus B and C and the coordination of this points to that. And you're going, yeah, but your brother, you're wasting your time. I can tell you who created all that. And He created it for you to enjoy. You can keep studying it all you want. It's great. But I can tell you exactly who created it. And they're looking at you, but you've already made up your mind at this point, I'm going to be a fool in their eyes anyway. And that's fine. But now you begin to quote that gospel and you begin to preach that word of God with boldness and confidence. And they're going, who is this guy who speaks with such authority? Who is he? Isn't he the carpenter's son? Isn't he the fisherman? Isn't he the layman? Isn't he the guy that lives on the other side of the tracks? Yep, that's me. That's us. We are the Christians. Make up your minds now. I'm going to look weak. Then he's saying, he goes, I've chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. He's chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong. Go ahead and make up your mind. I'm going to look weak in this situation. But guess what? In 2 Corinthians 12, turn there with me. Verse 5. On behalf of such a man I will boast, but on my own behalf I will not boast, except in regard of my weaknesses. Go down to verse 9. And he has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses and persecutions, with difficulty for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Let's make up our minds right now tonight. Let's stop trying to fit in. You're not going to do it. We haven't been called for that purpose. He goes, they're going to make you feel like the outsiders. But you're my insiders. So in the world, you are the outsiders. He goes, but not so much the outsiders that matter. You're the insiders that matter. And you're doing my work. And I've called you to do a specific work. And they're going to begin to tear you down and they're going to try to make you feel stupid. He says, but even when they do that, you can realize, you can go, yeah, I know, man. I don't understand. Yeah, I don't understand all that. Yeah, you're talking over my head, brother. But I can tell you this. I can tell you what really does matter. Where are you going to go when you die? Is all this going to matter? Really? Are you trying to disprove God? Trying to say He doesn't exist? There will come a time where you stand in front of your Savior and you'll have to answer these words. We got to make up our minds now. See, I think the problem with Christians is they stop trying to look like foolish people. They stop trying to look like fools. They started trying to fit in to a mold that we're not meant to fit into. We got to make up our minds now. Yeah, I'm crying in the middle of a construction site and the song's playing and I'm praying. That's right. Why are you crying? Brother, the Lord is heavy on my heart. You understand what I'm saying? There's going to be times in your life where you're just going to praise the Lord. You're always smiling. I got a lot to smile about. I'll tell you. Go with me back to Galatians. From I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Who am I seeking the favor of? We got to make up our minds now. Okay, that's it. I'm done. I'm sold out. They're going to think of me what they will. I'm okay with that because I know how He thinks of me. It doesn't matter how they think of me. I already know. I'm going to be a fool for Christ. I'm sold out. That's right. Michelle laughs. I can wear my socks up to here and low-cut tennis shoes and roll. It doesn't matter. Because that's just that we're just going to roll like that. We're going to be fools for Christ. And we're going to do what He's called us to do. And we're not going to worry about not fitting in. I'm not going to worry about that anymore. I got a family who loves me. I got a God and a Savior who died for me. And He's going to prepare a place for me right now. And when I die, I'm going to go home and be with Him. But I got a family who loves me. I got a church that I'm a part of. I don't need to fit in out there. That ain't my family. That ain't my family. But what is important is that I begin to take that gospel to them. In spite of them and their insults and their making fun and their mockery. He goes, why'd you, what happened? Do you not believe that the gospel is strong enough? He goes, you stop believing. What happened? You stop believing the gospel couldn't change people? You stop believing that as you were going, you share the gospel? And then at that point in time, that may be God, that may be all that God had me do. Is just share that gospel with them at that point in time. What's Romans say in 1:16?
I'm ashamed of the gospel.
Amen. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God. The power of God. It's not that we have lightning bolts and we perform miracles like they all did. He gave us the gospel. He gave us the gospel. And He gave every one of us the gospel. When He ordained the apostles, He sent them out. They had signs and wonders and everything that accompanied them to prove that they were from God. But at this point now, He goes, now I want you guys to carry the gospel. Because it's been established. The gospels went out through these men that I had established at church, and now I want you guys to carry that gospel. That's the power now. It's not going to be what you perform. It's not going to be what you drive. It's not going to be where you live. It's not going to be what kind of job you have. It's not going to be any of that. It's not fitting into the world's criteria. The power of God is the gospel. And that's what we're meant to carry. For everyone who believes, that's the key. You got to believe that's the power. You got to believe it. If the scriptures are telling you, who are we to argue with God? You make up your mind tonight. I'm sold out. Miss Stella, go ahead.
Yes, when you share about the Lord to people that don't even understand, mm-hmm. you're still giving them a teaspoon at a time.
Amen.
And they go home and they think.
The Word of God never returns void. Never returns empty-handed. But as we go out, you think of that psalm as him who sows in tears. We'll reap in joy. That's right. As we go out, we see a lost world, and they're trying to tell us, we're not lost, we're not lost, we're not lost. We got it all under control. But we know because we have the gospel. They don't. They're trying to tell us, we got it under control, man. We're making boats right now, so when the end of the world comes, we're going to jump on our boats, and we're going to be good. You ain't going to make boats for that, brother. You ain't going to make places on the moon for that either. He goes in verse 11. For I would have you know, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor as I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. The Word of God is the Word of God. It's not the Word of man. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 16, or verse 13. For this reason, we also constantly thank God that when you received the Word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the Word of men, but for what it really is, the Word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe. Go to 2 Timothy 3:16. That's first. First Timothy. This one's second. All Scripture is inspired by God. The word there is literally God-breathed. It's God-breathed. We know what the world's going to tell us. Man wrote that book. Brother, I'm telling you, it's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. We're not preaching to them something that man fabricated. I'm giving you the Word of God. And it's by faith that you got to believe this. And it's by faith that you got to believe He died on the cross for you. One day, you're going to stand in front of your Maker. And brother, I'm trying to tell you now, you don't have to fear that day. That's going to be a grand and glorious day if you'll put your trust in Jesus Christ. But you got to believe that. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. 1 Peter, 2 Peter 1. Verse 19. No, go up to 16. For we did not follow cleverly devised tales when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. Eyewitnesses of His majesty. Moved by the Holy Spirit of God to write these scriptures to us to carry to the world. But when we try to wrap our own human wisdom around this, you're going to lose yourself. It's by faith, brothers and sisters. You've got to believe. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, such an utterance as this was made to him by the majestic glory, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." And then he goes on to say, after that, when he said that verse, listen to him. Listen to him. If we'll listen to him, we're there. But we'll go down to verse 20. "But know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God." Chapter 2 starts out, "But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you, who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the Master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves." The Lord Jesus Christ has rescued us from this present evil age. We know this. At this point in time, you come to a point where you say, okay, I'm sold out. I'm done. I will be a fool for Christ Jesus. That's going to be one of the very first things. That's going to be your first step in being able to take that message to the people around you. Because there's going to be a part of you that's going to feel, you're going to feel foolish at times. There's going to be times where you're going to feel foolish. Recognize that that's okay. Go ahead and recognize it now. Recognize there's going to be times where you're going to begin to feel those forces of darkness. Recognize that's a door. There's a reason. And I'll just go ahead and read it to you since I'm here. Verse 9 of chapter 16 of 1 Corinthians. "For a wide door for effective service has opened to me. There are many adversaries." What we're going to see is not a door. Go ahead, sir. Start looking around.
The opposition is there because our invisible adversary that we cannot see knows where the fertile ground is, if you will. Mm-hmm.
The forces of darkness are there.
So he knows that there's an opportunity there for you, that if you were to drop your seed there, it'll take root and grow. Mm-hmm.
What? Right.
Provide an effectual door.
Right.
Because, I like what you're saying, because you're bringing to light our adversary's ways.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to give you a hard time unless you're actually doing something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He's not going to make your life miserable unless you're doing something for God.
Right. There's no reason to ruffle the feathers.
Right.
And that was like the church in Ephesus. There was no reason to bring persecution on them. They left their first love. There was no reason to press down on them. They were doing just fine on their own. You know what I mean? There was no reason to. But one of the things that I think that he's letting us know, you got to come to a point where God has given us insight through his word. We know. We see these things. It's not just telling us these things for no reason. We know. Paul's in prison. He goes, it's for your glory, man. There's no other place I'd rather be. I'm in prison? Yeah. Pray for us that a door open to us, not to get out, but a door to share the gospel even more. This is an opportunity. We're in prison. I want to share the gospel. My first thoughts is, how am I going to get out of here? And this food's not that well. And am I going to get beat up? You understand what I'm saying? But these are things that Paul is saying. These are doors. And so we come to a point where we realize that this isn't the word of man that we carry. This is the word of God. And the first point, the book of Galatians is, you're going to be free in the Spirit. You're going to have freedom in the Spirit of Christ. It's freedom. You're walking in freedom. What's going to bond you is when we realize that we're trying to please man. That's going to throw you off course. Because when you make up your mind from get-go, I'm going to look like a fool. And that's okay. I'm going to own it. People are going to look at you like you're foolish. You're going to seem weak at times. You're going to seem dumb at times. But hey, I'm cool with that. Because I know I'm doing the work of my Savior. When I look that way, and when people are trying to make me feel that way, I know my Savior's at work, because it's not me that I'm preaching. It's my Savior that I'm proclaiming. It's Him. You're right. I know I sound pretty foolish. I agree. But Jesus Christ is good. You can't deny that. I don't know. You tell me. Did He die on the cross? I don't know. Do you know anybody that gave their life for you so you could live forever? You can't. They can't name anybody. So come to that point. The first step you're going to begin to realize as you're walking in that freedom of Christ is going to be you letting go of what man thinks about you. Let it go. And as soon as you can do that, that's going to be that first step of freedom in Christ. And you're going to be walking around before you know it. You're just going to be walking around free. And you're going to be sharing Jesus with everybody at the teller, at the grocery store, at your neighbor. And you're going to be free in Christ. You're going to go there. Because at first, what begins to stop us from that is what man thinks. It's what man thinks about us. We get a little embarrassed. We get a little shy. They're going to think I'm kind of silly. They're going to think I'm kind of weird. I don't want them to think that way about me. Go ahead and make up your mind. Say, that's okay. They can think about whatever they want. But I bet one thing they will say about you. That joker right there loves the Lord. And he'll tell you all about it. So you go ahead and make up your mind tonight. I'm going to be a fool for Christ. It'll be the first step. Dear Heavenly Fathers, we come before you now, Lord. I thank you that, Lord, you've given us great freedom in us realizing, Lord, that the world's going to see us as foolish. But, Lord, in your eyes, we're your sons and we're your daughters. We're part of your kingdom. We're fellow heirs. We're members of your body. We're partakers of your promise. So, Lord, even now, let us go ahead and make up our minds that we don't need to please man anymore. That we're slaves of Jesus Christ. We're slaves of you, Lord. And that wherever you send us, we want to go. We want to share your word with this world. We want to be lights in this dark world. So, Lord, please, take away any embarrassment or any pride that we may have or anything in us that would hold us back from sharing your word. Lord, we don't want that in our lives anymore. So, Lord, please take that out of us. Let us walk in the freedom of your Spirit and realize that you're good and that your gospel is power. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this. In your name we pray, Father. Amen.